Today, we're going to continue our Luke series. So I invite you to open up your Bibles or your cell phones, whatever kind of Bible you got, to Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 22 to 34 today. And we come to a section of Scripture where Jesus is talking about the issue of worry. And I think that's something that, you know, it's always good for us to learn about and to remember about. Because worry is something that can be a big problem all year long. It can take away our joy of living. Worry clouds our thoughts, so we can't think of anything else. It just kind of play the thing that we worry about over and over again. Doctors tell us that worry even affects us physically. Do you know that? That it raises your blood pressure? Causes you to lose sleep at night. There's actually now an entire science around sleep. One of my daughters is a specialist now about helping people to figure out how to get more sleep because people lose sleep at night. Worry is a special problem right now during the Christmas season because on top of everything else that people worry about all year long, now people worry about the special holiday kind of worries. I don't necessarily read Huffington Post regularly, but I did see an article the other day about what people worry about or what they stress over at Christmas time. And there was a top 10 list. I thought it was instructive for us. Let me share this top 10 and see if any of you worry about this at Christmas time. Spending the big bucks on the best presents are the number one worry that people have at Christmas time, according to HP. Or crafting or making homemade gifts. People like to make homemade gifts and they kind of stress over it and actually robs them of their joy. Or the number three thing is thinking of the very best present for everybody. And, you know, having their list and trying to check it off twice. Or number four, giving of the same gift to multiple people. Now, frankly, I don't know why you would ever worry about this. I would always be thankful just to get the gift. Every year, I give the same gift to my four sons. I have one son and three sons-in-law. I give them all the same gift. It's always something techie, and they always love it. I never worry about this, but apparently some people worry about giving the same gift to multiple people. Number five, returning gifts for both the giftor and the giftee. Apparently, if you give a gift, you worry about, is this something that they can return? Did I make sure I return the slip? Will they really like it? And then the person who gets the gift, who wants to give it back, can I give it back? Will anybody care? Will I get the best price for it? Number six, cooking everything yourself. Some of the guys are laughing, and the girls are shaking their heads yes and no. Number seven, staging elaborate scenes with something called Elf on the Shelf. I did not know this existed, but I looked it up. Do you know what we're talking about? Those of you who laughed, there's a little thing called Elf on the Shelf, and apparently you set this up. So this is just really kind of sinister, really. The elf is supposed to be watching the children. And if the children do something bad, the elf goes back to Santa Claus overnight and tells Santa Claus. And so moms, especially, but dads, tell the kids, watch out for the elf on the shelf. But that causes stress. You know why? Because every night the mom has to remember to move the elf on the shelf to a different place. Mom, why is the elf in the same place? Did he not go last night to see Santa Claus? I guess that's stress for you. Number eight on the list, homemade pie crust. How could that be stressful? But apparently it is. Number nine, last minute additions to the guest list. Last minute additions. And number 10, arguments. Arguments between people. So here's the thing. I'm sitting here watching you, and here's what's happening. The women are all nodding their heads, and the guys are wondering what in the world we're talking about. Right? The guys, we really don't have much stress at Christmas time. It's all on the burden of the ladies. Well, here's the thing. Jesus told us not to worry so much. And I don't think it's any coincidence that we arrive at this Jesus worry sermon in Luke 12, just as Christmas season is starting and ramping up. Jesus actually, in this passage in Luke 12, gives us 8 reasons why Christians should not worry. And so, if you've got your programs, we're going to fill them out one at a time. 8 reasons why Christians should not worry. So let's get into it. Number one reason, because worry disobeys Jesus' command. Because worry disobeys Jesus' command. We read in verse 22 of Luke chapter 12. So then Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you eat, or about your body, or what you will wear." Now actually, Jesus breaks a very important homiletics rule. Homiletics is how you give sermons. And my homiletics professor would say that this isn't how you're supposed to start off a sermon. The homiletics professor in my seminary says you're supposed to tell people how, not why, or not just an absolute. But Jesus doesn't do that, and I think that's okay. Jesus can preach any way he wants, right? Regardless of what my homiletics professor said. He just gives the why. According to Jesus in this passage, worry is a choice. Worry is a choice. Jesus opens up his worry sermon with these words. Don't. Don't worry. That's it. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about how you dress. Don't worry about Christmas. Don't worry about the marriage. Don't worry about the children. Don't worry about the job, pastor. Don't worry about the finances of the church. Don't worry, right? Because bottom line, Jesus says, you name it, you could worry about it, but Jesus says, don't do it. Bottom line for Christians, this is a command from Jesus. Stop and think about it. He says, just don't do it. He doesn't say that you shouldn't do it. He says that this is not a Christian thing to do. If you're in Christ, don't worry. And of course, now at this moment, some of you are actually worrying that you worry. Oh my. Here's the second thing that Jesus tells us about. He says, I should not worry because worry wastes life. Worry wastes life. Verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. He's saying there's more to our Christian life than what we think about. That our lives are more than our physical lives. Because all these things that he talks about here, these are all the physical things of life, right? The food, the body, the clothing. But what Jesus reminds us of here is that we are actually spiritual beings too. That our lives really are the spirit part of us that are wrapped with the physical part of us. That our lives are a lot more than just the here and now. That our lives are eternal. So that when we worry, we take away from this life that we should now be enjoying. And I don't know if you found this to be true. We sang this great song this morning about joy. And I so loved it when Jillian read that verse about joy from 1 Peter. But do you know that joy and worry are incompatible? Right? You can't be experiencing the joy that we talked about this morning and be worrying both at the same time. Even when your physical life suffers, your spiritual life can rejoice. Unless you're worrying about things. And besides all of this, most of what we worry about, frankly, isn't worth worrying about in the first place. Robert Lehi, PhD, wrote a book, fairly famous book, called The Worry Cure. It's not a Christian book. But he reports in this book one study in which participants were required to write down everything that they worried about and then predict what they thought would happen, why they were worried. Did you know that 85% of the things that they were worried about that would happen never happened? And actually, 85% of the things that they were worried about had a positive outcome. So worry just wastes our life. So two things we've seen so far already. It disobeys Jesus' command straight out and wastes life. Now, if I were you, what I would be doing here, because it's really tempting just to fill in eight blanks today, and we leave and we feel like, well, we got our sermon today, we just filled out eight blanks. What I'd like you to do is stop and think, is this something that I could use? Or is this something that's worth remembering? And if it is, put a star next to it. So is it important for you just to remember, hey, you know, I shouldn't worry because Jesus just tells me I shouldn't worry. It's against Jesus' command. Or maybe I should just remember that wasting life is what worry is all about. Or number three, maybe this would be something that would be helpful to you, because worry conceals my value. Worry conceals my value. Here's what Jesus says in verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Jesus says that you're valuable. Jesus says we're all valuable. That God even takes care of the ravens, and that you're so much more valuable than what the ravens are. But worry, when you worry, worry hides that value from your life. And here's why. Because worry devalues the value giver. Worry devalues the value giver. When we worry about how things are going to turn out for us, we are demonstrating not only a lack of trust in God's ability, but we're also demonstrating a lack of trust in God's evaluation of us. In other words, we might think, well, God could do it if God wanted to do it, but God doesn't love me enough to do it. God doesn't value my life enough. And if we think that we're not worth being provided for because we don't value ourselves, then it's going to be very hard for us to not worry about things. But you see, our value, and this is important for you to grab hold of, it's important for you to walk away with, our value is not found in how we think about ourselves or how we see ourselves. Our value is found in how God sees us. So even when you know you've blown it, even when you don't think very highly of yourself, understand that God values you. And because God values you, you shouldn't worry. But when we worry, that is concealed. My value is concealed. So we've seen already three things. Disobeys Jesus' command, wastes life, conceals my value. Maybe number four could be helpful to you, and it's this, that worry doesn't help. Maybe it would be helpful for you to remember that worry doesn't help. Again, let's read verse 25 and 26. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? See, worry is unhelpful. It doesn't do anything for you. You won't live a minute longer because you worry. What we already found is we actually will waste life. We'll waste the time that we do have. But you won't accomplish anything. Worry never solves anything. It's like stewing without doing. It's like racing your car engine. You create a lot of smoke and a lot of noise, but you never go anywhere. That's what worry is. Worry has never solved a problem. Worry cannot change the past. Worry cannot change your future. Worry can only make you miserable today. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. And actually, worry oftentimes has the exact opposite effect. Worry can exaggerate your problems. Worry can make mountains out of molehills. It just makes whatever problems you have, no matter how small they are or how big they are, Worry makes your problems bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more that you review your problem, the more that you worry about it and you think about it, the bigger that problem gets. And to worry about something that you can't change, well, that's useless. To worry about something that you can change, well, that's just stupid. Because it'd be better off just to change it instead of worrying about it, right? So we've seen four things so far. Worry disobeys Jesus' command. Worry wastes life. Worry conceals my value. Worry does not help. Any of those things helping you? Anybody put a star next to any of those things so far that you want to make sure you come away with? Do you want to make sure you remember? Let's move on to number five. Worry. We don't want to worry because worry doubts over the temporal things of life. Because worry doubts over temporal. Now let me read the verses here and then I'll explain this. Again, this is Jesus speaking in his sermon, verse 27 and 28. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? You see, when we worry about the things that are here today, gone tomorrow, we actually are discounting the long-term nature of our own eternity. Because God says, as a Christ follower, that you are an eternal being. And that these years that we have on this life are a very small, very minuscule part of what our entire life is going to be in eternity. But not only does worry create doubts about that future, about that eternity, it also creates doubts about the eternity giver, the eternity creator God. Let me just share a couple of, these are scientific facts that I hold on to help me to remember what a great God we have. Thanks to the Hubble telescope, you all know about the Hubble telescope out there in space. The Hubble telescope, we now know that there are, and this, by the way, is now a conservative guess, we now know that there are 350 billion, with a B, galaxies. So like our Milky Way galaxy, that is, we think is so big. And so there's like 350 billion of those. Now, why would God make something, create something so huge? Why would he make so many? Could it be that he wants us to know just how big he is? And yet, this same God that created 350 billion or more galaxies also took this little caterpillar, and inside of the caterpillar, we're told that this caterpillar, this little thing that you see crawling around on the ground or on trees, has 228 separate and distinct muscles in its head. A caterpillar. Now, I don't know about you, that's quite a few for a bug. Yet Jesus here, in this verse, tells us that God, the same God, who created the grandeur of the 350 billion galaxies, and who also thought it worthwhile to create 228 separate muscles inside of the head of the caterpillar, also knows every single hair on your head and counts them by number. So do you believe that God is big enough and loving enough to take care of whatever it is that is worrying you? So worry creates doubts over the temporal. Worry disobeys Jesus' command. Worry wastes life. Worry conceals my value. Worry just doesn't help. And then we come to number six.
reasons why I should not worry, according to Jesus. I should not worry because worry is for the pagans. Worry is for the pagans. Now, you would think that this is a terrible thing to say, except that Jesus himself says it. So we need to always quote Jesus here, right? So verses 29 and 30, here's what Jesus says. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things. And your Father knows that you need them. So do you understand that worry is one of the signals that God uses for those who don't yet believe in him and don't believe yet in his love for them, that maybe they should be looking for a better answer than the one that they can find within themselves? See, worry is not for Christians. Worry, according to Jesus here, worry is for the pagans. Those aren't my words. Those are Jesus' words. Again, let me read it for you. The pagan world runs after all such things that cause worry. So remember, you as a Christian are supposed to be the light of the world that points people to Jesus. And so when you worry, your light is not shining like it should. Now, I don't remind you of this to cause you guilt and shame because, frankly, as Christians, I'm here to also admit to you that we all worry from time to time, even me. The truth is, we are not perfect Christians on this side of eternity, and we all still sin, and we all still need to confess. And one of the things that we need to confess, frankly, is worry. Worry is one of those things in your life that should be like the warning indicator in your car. I used to look at this in my car. Used to be a little check engine light that would come on. And when the check engine light would come on, you know what I would do? I would go to the mechanic. And I would say, there's something wrong with my car. The check engine light, come on. That's what the check engine light's for. And worry is like that for us. Worry, when it comes on in our life, should say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to worry. I'm a Christian. Something's wrong. I need to go to God. I need to confess. But some of us haven't done that for a very long time. And so you know what happens when the indicator of your engine comes on and it just stays on all the time? I know what that's like because I drive a car that has the check engine light on. It's been on solid for the last 3 years. Some of us are like that with worry. We've gotten used to worry. We've become accustomed to worry in our life so that now we don't even think about it anymore. It's just on all the time. What used to be a check engine light indicator for us that I need to go to God, I need to confess, I need to pray about this, I need to say, God, I've got this problem, I need your help, becomes something that we don't even think about. It just becomes part of our life. You need to stop. You need to slow down. You need to examine your life. What is it that, according to Jesus here, we should be asking ourselves this question. What is it that we are running after so hard that causes our life to be stressful, that's causing us to worry? And then ask ourselves this question. Is this anything compared to my God, my Godfather, who loves me with his all-powerful, all-caring love? I don't need to worry. I am better than that. Not my words, God's words, Jesus' words. I should be going to him. So, are these things helping you? We looked at six things so far. We shouldn't worry because worry disobeys Jesus' command. Worry wastes our life. Worry conceals my value. Worry just doesn't help. Worry doubts over the temporal. And the worry is for pagans, not for the Christians. And then we come to the seventh reason why I should not worry. I should not worry because worry hides God's kingdom. Worry hides God's kingdom. Verses 31 and 32. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is our first and our greatest joy. We share in God's work. We share in God's will. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of his kingdom. Even now, we don't have to die first to go. We are part of that now while we live. What a great privilege that we each have in this way. But when we're in this state of worry, we cannot see God's kingdom in our lives. We cannot see that we are citizens of his kingdom. We are literally blinded by worry. For those of you who drive, you know what it's like when you're driving at night and you are driving and there's an oncoming car, and especially if they have their brights up, that you're just blinded. You can't see. Now, I know that some of you more aggressive drivers, you know, you will put your brights on too. Let them know. I can't see, you can't see. That's not a smart thing to do. But if you're blinded, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to look down at the side of the road and try to find that line on the side or find the edge of the road and keep your eyes open and try to get through it. Right? I mean, that's what they taught me some 40 years ago when I learned how to drive. All right? So, when you're worried, you are literally blinded, just like those brights are coming on in the car on the road. When you look at this verse, in verse 31, 32, can you hear the level of love and concern that Christ has for you when you are blinded by worry? Do you see how intimate this is? Do not worry, little flock. It's just like Jesus is trying to soothe us as he would a frightened little lamb. And he tells us two things here. I'm going to give them to you in reverse order. But in this verse 31, 32, he reminds us of, first of all, the fact of his kingdom. And then second of all, he reminds us of the reminder that we should be seeking his kingdom. Okay, now let me come back to that analogy of the brights on a car at night, shining in your eye, and when you're blinded. Right? Do you remember that? Remember what you're supposed to do? Remember what you're not supposed to do? You're not supposed to close your eyes. Right? That's not a very good idea at all. You want to steer straight. You don't want to give that up. When you're blinded, you have to work extra hard to see what you cannot see, that edge of that road. And the same thing is true in our Christian life. When we are blinded by worry, we have to work extra hard to not worry. We have to work extra hard to confess. We have to work extra hard to be in our prayer life. We have to work extra hard to keep our eyes open to God's kingdom and to be as close to him as we possibly could. Our Heavenly Father, it says here, has been pleased to give each of you the kingdom. He would not want this kingdom that he has given you to be hidden from you. So look for it. Look for any sign of it. Because when you see even a glimpse of it, whatever the worry is that you have, whatever the trouble is that you're facing, you discover that it is temporary and that it is nothing at all compared to the eternal joy that is prepared and waiting for you. So we're almost done. That's seven things, right? Seven things. Disobeys Jesus' command, wastes life, conceals my value, does not help, doubts over, temporal, is for pagans, hides God's kingdom. Any of those things going to be helpful for you? Anybody star any of those things? Here's one more for you, and this is where we're going to wrap it up. Number 8. Because worry robs me of real treasure. Worry robs me of real treasure. Reading verse 33 and 34. Here's what Jesus says. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, frankly, many people preach these two verses as a separate sermon all in and of itself, as if it's a sermon on giving, a sermon on generosity, a sermon of taking care of the poor. And these are two great verses. They really are. Nothing at all wrong with that. But here's what I want you to grab hold of. One of the things that I have taught you, hopefully over the years as your pastor, is that you should always be looking at things in context. These verses are given to you in the context of worry. And Jesus is saying, here is a solution for your worry. The last reason that worry is something to be avoided by Christians is that it hides the kingdom of God. Not only that, but it actually robs me of the treasure that I could be enjoying in the kingdom of God. You need to meditate on these verses for a while to grasp a hold of everything that Jesus is telling us. So let me just summarize this very quickly. First, it's possible that the actions that we take here and now on earth will have an impact upon our eternal wealth in heaven. Jesus is saying that you could be building up wealth in heaven or not, and that the things that you're doing now will impact that. He's saying, second of all, that when you worry about things here on earth, that it's most likely because your focus has gotten off of the eternal things and onto the temporal things. And that you're worried about things that are here today, gone tomorrow, instead of having their focus on what God himself is providing us. Number three, he says that it would be better to sell off everything and anything that takes your focus off of God and his son Christ, because we are giving something else a higher priority. And whenever you do that, you're going to find yourself worrying more than what you should. And the fourth thing he says here is, of course, we would worry about anything that's temporary. We would worry about any temporary treasure. Why? Because that's their nature. They're temporary. A temporary treasure is temporary. A temporary treasure is built to be lost. A temporary treasure is built to fail. A temporary treasure is built to be stolen. A temporary treasure is built to be destroyed. So Jesus is saying here, number five, treasures in heaven are exactly the opposite of that. They are eternal. They cannot be taken away from you. They cannot be destroyed. That you can have them forever. And here's the last thing, and I'll leave you with this. There is no fudge factor here. When Jesus preaches these sermons, he is very clear. We like to put the fudge factor in because we're uncomfortable with it, but there's no fudge factor here. If I really want to know where my heart is, not what I say, not what I want people to think, not what I pretend, not even what I think about myself, if I really want to know where my treasure is, it's very simple. I look at two things. I look at my checkbook or my bank statement or my credit card. I look at my finances and I look at my calendar. I look what I'm doing with my money and I look what I'm doing with my time. And if those two things are spent doing a lot of things that are temporary and not the eternal, then Jesus is saying, well, of course you're going to be worried about that. But if you're putting your money in those eternal treasures, if you're putting your time in those eternal treasures, you will worry less. So, as we go into this Christmas season, for many, the most stressful time of the year, the most worrisome time of the year, I believe today that God wants to give you a present. He wants to give you everything. He wants to give you his kingdom. And the greatest gift imaginable, to receive it, you'll have to open up your hands. For some of you, to open up your hands to receive what God wants for you means you're going to have to let go of something else. So, what are you holding on to so tightly that it's causing you to worry?